Hello, and welcome to the UK Gamers Podcast. Well, in today's show, I'm going to be talking about Critical Role and also reflecting on 2023. Now, the year started off pretty badly for Hasbro. They'd created a huge amount of bad blood with their attempts to mess with the OGL, and it caused a massive sort of nerd rage where people cancelled their D&D Beyond subscriptions, people, you know, lobbied for boycotting the D&D movie, and third-party producers looked at their business model and thought, you know, how closely tied do I want to be to the D&D brand? Because, you know, I can't have trust that that revenue stream is going to be open to me because, you know, they keep trying to change the deal, just like Darth Vader. And because of that, I think the D&D movie did reasonably well, but not as well as it should have done. What I will say is the movie's much better than the first D&D movie, but it's not an amazing movie. It's just, you know, it's okay. And I think in the long term, it's going to do reasonably well with streaming and DVD purchases and so forth. But I don't think it's going to have got the return on investment that Hasbro expected for such an expensive outlay. And this rather puts a hole below the water of some of the board of executives' designs on D&D as an IP. Now, I hear that the toys are also not doing that great, although the sort of classic cartoon toys, you know, sold reasonably well. And so this is the thing. From a sort of small producer point of view, D&D does really well. It sells millions of copies. It makes quite good profit. But from a Hasbro point of view, they need it to do more, and they think it can do more. Now, this is kind of an interesting point of view because, you know, D&D and Wizards of the Coast are one of the more profitable arms of Hasbro, and they're in all sorts of financial trouble by the sounds of it. They aren't making as much profit as they need to keep the stock market happy and to keep the board happy. And therefore, you know, having started the year with a load of controversy around Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro, we're ending the year on that as well, sadly, with something like 20 to 30% of the staff being laid off. And I did see some very interesting videos about why that might be. You know, there's this thought that, you know, 5th edition is a pretty sturdy set of rules. So maybe rather than keep bringing out new editions, they just do a little, you know, lick and polish and almost have an evergreen version of D&D, and therefore you don't need lots of artists and creative directors and stuff. So, you know, one way to get a quick win is to get rid of people, which is an interesting sort of almost lukewarm hot take. But we'll see what happens in 2024, because 2024 is meant to be the 50th anniversary of D&D, so it should be this massive celebration. But, you know, as we're ending 2023, it's all a bit like, yeah, D&D. Now, I'm probably not the best person to talk about this because my main interest in D&D stopped sort of in the first to second edition era. You know, I'm really original edition, BX and first edition, and I've not been that bothered with second, third, fourth, or fifth even. But, you know, you got to recognise that D&D is the biggest fish in the pond, and what happens with D&D can potentially have impacts on the rest of the industry. Now, I think if D&D did fail, which some people are predicting, I'm not sure it will, what's going to happen is it will either be supported by the fans or another game will step into the breach. And of course, a lot of people are looking for what game could that be. So as part of the OGL drama, obviously Paizo were a bit resurgent with Pathfinder 2nd Edition. They created the Orc license, and I think Kobold Press had a pretty successful Kickstarter with, I want to say, Tales of the Valiant. MCDM currently have a really good crowdfunding going. They've raised over $3 million. That game looks very interesting, but it's maybe not a game aimed at me because it's a sort of grid-based tactical RPG, which is not really my thing these days, but I'm very fascinated by it and definitely want to have a play and read of it. And then, of course, the other big name was Critical Role. Now, Critical Role have sort of risen to fame and become a bit of a Marmite group. You've got the sort of rabid fans, sometimes referred to as critters, and then you've got the people who absolutely detest them and think they're the worst thing to ever happen to the RPG industry. And then you've got what I think is a larger majority of people, somewhere in between, who, you know, either like them or don't like them, but, you know, they're not particularly extreme in their viewpoints. And I put myself in that middle group. You know, I admire their craft. I think they're very talented individuals. They've done really well at carving themselves out of space. And, you know, good on them. But I'm not really their target market. I'm not really a big fan of watching actual plays. I actually think their really good stuff they've done is where they took their sort of D&D campaign and turned it into an animated TV show on, I want to say, Netflix. So Vox Machina is a really good adult cartoon. And I say adult because it's quite violent, fairly sweary, and has sort of hanky-panky in it as well. So, you know, it's definitely not a kids' show. But, yeah, I really enjoyed that, and I think that shows where they're, you know, a really talented bunch. And my understanding is they sort of got a kickstart from Felicity Day, who sort of helped launch them on the scene, and they became really tied to D&D. So obviously all this OGL drama has made them look at other options. So they do stream other games, but D&D is definitely their sort of core audience. So as part of that, Darrington Press was their sort of publishing arm. They have created two games, and the game that a lot of people think might be the D&D killer is Daggerheart, but it's not out yet, so we can't be sure exactly what it is or how good it is, and you know how much they're going to use it compared to, for example, D&D. So it'd be interesting to see what they do with that. Now, I'm kind of interested in it because, as I say, I'm quite interested in the MCDM RPG, but I don't think it's my sort of game, whereas Daggerheart looks a bit more lightweight, a bit more story first, which is more sort of how I like to play these days. But I do have some worries, partly based on that other game, Candle Obscura, which for whatever reason seems to have drawn a lot of hate. And I've seen some really vile sort of hate bomb reviews online. And I don't think that's fair. Now, I'm not sure if this is coming about because people expected it to be something it wasn't, whether it's just, you know, the various nerd rage over, you know, I hate Critical Role, therefore I hate anything they produce, and Darrington Press is effectively Critical Role, so therefore this is trash just by association. But yeah, it's weird. So Candle Obscura is the game I'm going to spend most of my time talking about because it does actually exist and is actually out there for public consumption. Now, it streamed back earlier this year, and I, you know, thought, oh, I'll have a look, see what it's about, and it was okay. Now, I thought that particular first season showed that, you know, the game and the setting was interesting, but I didn't particularly enjoy the actual play, but, you know, as I say, I'm not really a fan of actual plays anyway. Now, there has been a season 2 and I think even a season 3. And season 2 I found a little bit more interesting because it actually had the game designer acting as the person running the game. And it had some pretty dark moments, it had some combat, and that was a lot more fun. I believe it was 3 parts and I've only really watched the first part. But, you know, it was enough for me to get intrigued to pick up the PDF copy of the rules. Now, the actual game itself is a very, very rules-light version of a game that's sort of like Blades in the Dark. If you're a big fan of Blades in the Dark, you might find it's too cut back, because it is a very, very lightweight game that's very much story rather than rules first. The setting itself is a sort of post-war Victorian-ish era, sort of industrialising, the coming of electricity. It's that sort of setting, and for me, although they talk about being very influenced by Vason, I actually personally think it's much more reminiscent of Malifaux, for me, because you've got this sort of the real world, you've then got this thing called the Veil, and beyond the Veil is magic that occasionally intrudes into the real world. And because of that sort of setup, it feels a bit like Malifaux, which is also a little bit like Deadlands. So, probably in my version of the game, I would lean more towards the Malifaux influence that I see in the game, rather than being a slave to the actual setting in the rulebook, which they do sort of encourage you to consider. Now, the rulebook itself, you know, it's beautifully made, looks really nice, it's got some really great artwork, it's got some interesting layout choices. Some of the squiggly text and arrows and sort of comments here and there maybe could get in the way of being able to read the book with, you know, a nice flow. So that's maybe a slight downside where maybe design has trumped practicality. But the reason it seems to have triggered a lot of people online is it's very sensitive about issues. So it heavily uses pronouns. It talks about the problematic aspects of horror and role-playing and you know, I know for a fact it was designed to try and be a horror game that isn't influenced by the all-conquering H.P. Lovecraft. And this can give people a little bit of an issue. In addition, it feels a little bit sort of split personality. It's trying to be this grim, dark horror, but in a nice, safe space. So, you know, slavery isn't really a thing. But equally, it also does sort of hint at maybe the bit of worker abuse by capitalism, but not too much. So for some people, it's maybe a sugary coated version of what could be a really dark setting. But again, I won't worry about that too much. It's your game. If you want to lean into, you know, slavery and abusive behaviours and all that, and your table is fine with that, we'll go for it. But of course, that's the other thing that triggers people, because it talks about X cards and lines and veils. And it seems that the RPG market has become a bit more fractionalized, and there are some people out there who really get upset by this and label the game excessively woke. And, you know, you, depending on your sensitivity to that sort of stuff, you're going to get offended or see there's no problem there. But for me, let's put all that to one side. Rather than say the game's bad because it's attached to Critical Role, it's got all this sensitivity, sugary coatedness, just deal with it for what it is, which is a very interesting addition to the market of sort of horror investigation games that doesn't rely on H.P. Lovecraft and the mythos. It's trying to do something different. Now, although it is trying to do something different, it's not desperately unique. So, you know, the rule set is derivative of Blades in the Dark, but strips out a lot of bits that people really like about Blades of the Dark. The setting is sort of, as I say, Malifaux Vassin-like, so it's not immensely original. And there was a very interesting article online which reviewed it, that basically says, it doesn't matter what I've got to say, you've already made your opinion about this game, and by the way, the game is fine. And I sort of see where they're coming from there. I think it's got potential to be a bit more than fine. But yeah, if you're expecting something revolutionary, amazing, totally unique, I'm not sure you're going to find that there. And of course, circling this back round, that's where people are a little bit worried about what's going to happen with Daggerheart. I think it's a bit early to call that. But yeah, I think Daggerheart probably is not going to be, you know, Warhammer Grimdark. It's not going to be sort of a dungeon crawl. It's going to be more probably high fantasy, you know, cat people getting along with orcs and all that sort of business. But who can tell? Most of us haven't seen the documents. Now I'm trying to get a playtest session so I can decide if it's a game I'm interested in, because I think it's pretty exciting. And I think, you know, the people who have given Candlelight Obscura a fair shot have been reasonably impressed with it. As I say, they haven't had their socks blown off, but they think it's a, you know, a decent enough game. And I really do hope people aren't just prejudging stuff based on people's hearsay. Now, a lot of the people who seem to be hating on the game, as I say, I think they've got a bit of an axe to grind against Critical Role. A lot of them haven't even played the game and they've just dismissed it out of hand. Now, I'm not saying, as I say, the game is perfect. There are some things I think could be better, but, you know, I'm interested enough to actually want to run a game session in 2024. And I, as I say, I think you can have a lot of fun with it, because these days my preference is definitely towards rules light. I don't like 300 page texts which tell you every single situation. And, you know, I don't like lore settings where, you know, you can't do something on a Tuesday because, as per, you know, book 17 of the Chronicles of the World, you know, Tuesdays are reserved for this and therefore this could never happen. You know, who needs that? You know, if you like that, great, more power to you. I don't need it. And that's something else I want to touch on. There was another very interesting article I read talking about online discourse, and I think this is something that everyone needs to pay attention to, because I'm seeing a lot of people having sort of almost fundamental viewpoints on what is the right way to do things, and anyone who thinks different is wrong. Well, no. You know, I'm not a big fan of tactical grid-based role-playing games. I think they're very well-written rules. I can see why people enjoy that. But for me, that's more board gaming, wargaming. And when I'm role-playing, I want a bit more theatre of the mind. And that's a preference. That's not an objectively true fact. And, you know, I've seen people going on about how story games are wrong and, you know, they're terrible. It's just make-believe. Well, again, that's just your opinion, man. So, you know, be aware of other people's difference of opinion, and rather than tell them they're wrong or they're playing it wrong or they're an idiot or whatever, just accept that, hey, you like playing that sort of game, I like playing this sort of game, we like different things, maybe we shouldn't play a game together because we're not compatible, rather than make it all judgy and hateful. Anyway, 2023 then's coming to an end. I hope you have a great holiday season. I know it can be a stressful time for some people. For other people, best time of their life. So let's hope it's best time rather than not so great. 2024 then, I'm hoping to keep working on my own games. Got a couple of rules ideas and also some adventure ideas for the games that are already out there. Hoping to get some sessions in of, for example, The Walking Dead, Candela Obscura, Cthulhu Dark, and maybe a few other games. And I'm also hoping to take part in some games. So, for example, I'm really keen to see if Quest Worlds does actually come out as a physical product. Chaosium have been promising it for a while now, and I think we're getting close to getting across the line, and there are some playtest sessions out there for the Quest World system, which is based on the rule set that originally came out as Hero Wars, and it's one of my favourite rule sets, actually. I really do quite like it. As to other games out there, as I say, MCDM's definitely one to watch. Very interesting to see what happens with Daggerheart. Tales of the Valiant, if you like your sort of 5th edition style of game, maybe that's one to look at. And of course, 50th anniversary of D&D, so it'd be interesting to see what Hasbro actually does do. Can they claw themselves back from the breach and repair the massive PR disaster that's been 2023? Anyway, that's probably enough for now, so until the next one, happy gaming.